On this Sunday, of course, being in the summer, we have an interesting array, like a smorgasbord, different doctrines and things throughout the Holy Scriptures. And, of course, in the first reading, we have the book of the prophet St. Amos, whose feast is in these days. And he was sent by God to preach, and the people did not want to hear him. Off with you, missionary. Flee to the land of Judah. They did not want to hear him. And so he, of course, did preach nevertheless and teach. But he protested, it was not I who chose this. God chose me. And then, of course, he says, I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. And I suppose they had to have a lot of material in order to dress sycamores. They're nice-sized trees. But anyway, you never know. So he dressed the sycamores, very modestly, I'm sure. Not the way people dress today or undress today. Of course, that is a problem that we always seem to have, especially in the summer. And then, of course, the gospel in which, once again, we see one of the reasons why our Lord has come. He has come to deliver us from the devil, from evil, from his minions. And as such, he gives authority to the apostles and their successors and those who assist them in the priesthood, in the religious life, to expel demons, unclean spirits. And today, of course, is Fatima Day, the 13th day of this month of July. And on the 13th of July of 1917, the Blessed Mother appeared to the children, as she had since May. But this time, she would show them something that would horrify them. She took them, transported them to the very outskirts of hell, eternal hell. And, of course, Venerable Lucia dos Santos is the one that tells us about these things. They were horrified to the point of fainting, of swooning, just from seeing the souls. And she would later on proclaim that the Blessed Mother protested that every single day, every single moment, there are countless souls that fall into the fires of hell, particularly for the sin of impurity, of immodesty. And that was in 1917. Imagine what it is now. And people think that they can do whatever they want to as long as they don't kill or murder. Some of them don't even think it's a sin to commit adultery. They think everything is fine as long as they don't murder anybody or steal $1 million. Of course, if I had chosen Trump to be my running mate, then I know that he can do the job. But nevertheless, they think they can do anything. They commit abortion and contraception and sterilization and divorce and all the things, and contraception again. And they think that's okay, as long as you don't hurt anybody. Well, we do not hurt him, not now, but we do in the Passion. We hurt our Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his most precious blood for our salvation. That was not fun. That was very costly. And it wasn't just the blood of heifers or goats or cows. It was the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away, by this shedding of his blood, the sins of the world. And so he gives them authority to expel demons. And the demons hate them, just as they hate us today, and continuously try to make troubles for us. And of course, they're always trying to destroy the church. They've done a very good job this time around, but it's not the end. The gates of hell shall not prevail. And it doesn't matter who's doing it or what hat they wear. the gates of hell shall not prevail. Then our Lord issues one of his condemnatory dicta or sayings. Whenever you go to a house, stay there. But if they do not receive you, and of course, your soul, your spirit is considered in the spiritual life like a house. If they do not receive you, go out and shake the dust of your feet. Wash them off your feet and your hands. You have nothing more to do with them. What do you think that means? That means that they would be condemned to hell unless they convert and repent. But most do not. There are many, many people who go to hell every single day. So the apostles did as he told them, and there were many places where they were not received. And then, nevertheless, they continued, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Holy Church of God. So they preached repentance and conversion. And while they were doing so, much to their dismay, he expelled many demons. But he also anointed many who were sick and dying through the apostles, and they were saved. And of course, the anointing of the sick, which we confer also very often here, this summer has been a lot of them. The anointing of the sick expels demons. It forgives sin. If there's a mortal sin, it has to be confessed before. The only way that it works without confession is if the person is in a coma and cannot confess. And then we hope and we pray that they would have otherwise been repentant of their sins. And as we do that, the demons are expelled. It is always, in all these readings of the scriptures throughout, it is always a battle between God and Satan, between angels and demons, between good and evil. And who do you think will win in the end? But not in each person. Each person has been given free will. If they are to be saved, they need to wish to be saved. Just like today, we can get a plenary indulgence by praying to this very holy and miraculous image of Our Lady on this 13th of July. If we wish to receive the plenary indulgence, we wish to state it to ourselves and to God and to the Blessed Mother, that we wish to receive this indulgence. And then, of course, we will be closer to our salvation. Let us not lose every opportunity that we have to grow in holiness, to grow in grace, to get all the indulgences that we can possibly get, and in particular, the very, very important plenary indulgence, which could, it doesn't always work that way, it depends on the person, but could erase all the punishment of purgatory that you may have accrued throughout years of sinful living. So believe and repent and obtain for yourselves all the graces that God lavishes upon you in the church and through his beloved mother, the mediatrix of all graces. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.